Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story. Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from tall tabaxi to talking tables, and today we're talking about the tiefling again.
It's true. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will. It's been a long time since we talked about the tiefling.
Yes, I believe the last time we had to sit down and talk about tieflings, it was episode 23.
Last time we sat down and talked about the tieflings on episode 23, we had a cup of tea.
Did we actually? Oh, no. Did we actually? I would have believed you.
I was just going to add, it was an improv exercise where we add another word with the tea. Yeah, the alliteration thing.
Yes. Uh-huh. So it's been some time.
Tell me of tieflings.
And in that time, some more official content has been released by Wizards of the Coast.
That's great.
So I felt like a revisit was in order.
And now, the foam of toes.
Yes, that's one of, actually, that and Skag actually have tiefling stuff as well.
Oh, they do. Mm-hmm. I was actually reading Skag last night, and it's got a ton of like little extra little
it does.
Things for
all, sprinkled
all the races
throughout.
And the classes.
It's true. So, disclaimer, we won't be doing a revisit episode for every single official D&D race, but I do want to do revisits for episodes or topics that I feel merit a second look. Mostly for either like mechanics or lore reasons. In this case, it's more of a mechanics reason than anything.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm thinking we should revisit like elves. There's a lot of like lore that we never covered in the original elves episode. So we'll do an elves revisit.
Yeah, you were telling me and our elf lore is like pieced throughout many different episodes.
It's true. Yeah, it's scattered about. Let's kind of condense it and concentrate into a single location.
Like we talk about another topic that is elf adjacent or elf related. And
there's a lot of those topics.
So. Yes, so that's why we're gonna actually focus on the race itself.
Right. But
that's what we're doing today. Let's talk about
indeed.
It.
Indeed. So though I'm sure most people watching this are well aware of what a tiefling is, maybe for some people it's their first episode.
Let's bottom up.
I don't
bottom
know up, why dude. They would choose Tieflings Part 2 as their first episode.
If you want to watch the Dungeon Cast, I actually highly recommend you start at a topic you like in the more recent catalog and then go back.
Sure, I can agree with that. So let's give a real quick recap on what a tiefling is. Mm-hmm. So tieflings are a race of humanoids in Dungeons & Dragons tied specifically to extraplanar beings called fiends. Now this can either be demons or devils or in even some cases things like eugoliths, which each of those has their own episode. Mm-hmm. Depending on your lore or edition, tieflings are either mortals with some remnant of fiendish blood in their genealogy, or they have some sort of curse inflicted upon them, giving them a fiendish nature.
Right.
And again, that just depends on edition and your setting.
Yeah, it's if you want the like the cursed one, or if it's like actual genetics. Right,
right,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Now, tieflings are almost never the direct offspring of a fiend and a mortal coupling. Such couplings usually result in a cambion or a half demon or some other spawn of some sort.
Yeah, not a humanoid. Well, maybe
well,
a humanoid,
probably
but like
be humanoid, but yeah, more, there'll more, be something else entirely.
More stat blocky than the character sheety.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, like the descriptor. There is a great divide in lore of tieflings caused by the infamous 4th edition, which I love. Come fight me in the comments. I'll defend 4th edition any day.
Shout out to 4E.
Indeed. Essentially, before 4E, tieflings were an exceptionally rare thing and always associated to the genetic tie to fiends. Mm. That was the concrete lore. Being a tiefling was more like having a mutation than being a specific species.
Right, okay.
And there was no universal look to tieflings or their nature. It all depended on like what kind of fiendish blood was going on in their genealogy.
Yeah, you had like red tones and blue tone skin. And
yeah, like, so, you know, it could just be like glowing eyes and spines. It could be like a tail and wings. It could be too many fingers and like an aura of uncomfortability. Like it could be all these different things.
Devilish horns are not like, you know, different kinds of horns. You could have like horns that go back.
Yeah,
horns that go
yeah.
Forward,
it could be all kinds
stubby
of horns.
Ones,
horns in all
ones.
Directions, all types. Yes.
What kind of horns
true.
You like? Put them on your character.
Right. So 4E introduced the concept of tieflings being a race of beings brought into existence due to a curse enforced by Asmodeus, Lord of the Nine Hells. He transformed a group of humans into infernal looking humanoids with red skin, tails, goat horns, and the ability to cast infernal magic. In this lore, all tieflings bred true and begot only tieflings, and all tieflings had a universal and devilish look to them. Okay. So that was the 4E version of tieflings. 5E started with the 4E version in the player's handbook, but has since expanded to the older kinds. But before we get into that, let's actually do a quick reread of the standard 5E tiefling so we can see what changes have been implemented in some of these variant versions of the tiefling.
Yes, please.
So we talked about this in the tiefling episode, but tieflings get a +1 to intelligence and a +2 to charisma, base walking speed of 30 feet. They get dark vision, you know, thanks to their infernal heritage. And just like everyone else, they get dark vision. Hellish resistance. All tieflings resist fire damage. And the big one is infernal legacy. So you know the thaumaturgy cantrip. When you reach third level, you can cast hellish rebuke spell as a second level spell once with this trait. Gain the ability to do so with a long rest. And when you reach fifth level, you can cast darkness spell with this trait and regain the ability to do so after you finish long rest. Charisma is the spell casting ability for these spells. So that's your standard tiefling.
Okay, that's dope. Are those the kind of spells where you burn a spell slot, or is it just like an inherent?
No, they're
like,
separate from your
that's
slots.
That's like a once per day.
Yeah, it's tied to your race.
Like
yeah,
Genasi, they
exactly.
get like once per day.
Yes, exactly.
Nice.
And Darkness and Hellish Rebuke are both really good spells. And I love Thaumaturgy. It's one of my favorite cantrips.
It is very good.
You can get very creative with it. So the first expansion on like tiefling mechanics was in the Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide, SCAG for short. And since not all tieflings in Forgotten Realms are of the blood of Asmodeus, some have traits that differ from those in the player's handbook. The dungeon master may permit the following variants for your tiefling character, although the features labeled Devil's Tongue, Hellfire, and Winged are mutually exclusive. You can't have... Like, you can mess with these variants, but you can't have Devil's Tongue and Hellfire.
I see,
okay. You can't
okay.
be winged and have Devil's Tongue.
If you have these things, it's you break the mechanics.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, the first variant isn't even really a, like, mechanical feature. It's just the appearance. So, your tiefling might not look like other tieflings. Like, if we're going with the genetic lore, like, your tiefling might not have anything to do with Devilkind at all. You might be part demon or part Yugolith or part whatever. So rather than having physical characteristics described in the player's handbook, choose 1d4 plus one of the following features. Small horns, fangs, sharp teeth, a forked tongue, cat-like eyes, six fingers on each hand, goat-like legs, cloven hooves, a forked tail, leathery or scaly skin, red or dark blue skin, you cast no shadow or have no reflection, or you exude a smell of brimstone.
Some of those are really cool, and some of those are not.
Yeah, I like all of them when you put them together. And so 1d4, let's say you actually go through with the rolling of the die, so you roll like a 2. So it's like pick 3 out of this crazy list, and you could get pretty creative. Let's see here. You could be like, I have no shadow or reflection, I have dark blue skin, and I have fangs.
My sixth finger comes out of my palm.
There we go. Yeah, exactly. So
it's just the nub. It can't actually do anything. I'm a claw. I have a claw now.
So that's the first thing that you can choose to have or not. The next is a feature called Feral. This basically is a trait that replaces your ability score that you would get, which is the +1 to intelligence and +2 to charisma.
Okay.
If you go feral and be like a feral tiefling, your intelligence score still increases by 1, but instead of your charisma score going up by 2, you get a +2 to dexterity.
Okay, nice.
So this is
so
like
instead of warlock, the charisma going up, sorry, was it +1 to charisma, I thought you said?
So the original tiefling is +1 in intelligence, +2 charisma.
+2 charisma, okay.
So this is a +1 intelligence, +2 dexterity.
That's cool.
So I think this lends itself to more of a like a roguish tiefling. Maybe yeah, like
you're leaning into like the animalistic nature.
Exactly.
Of,
like, you didn't get magic from your genealogy. You're just
You got buff.
Yeah.
You got like a wolf
you got
style.
Stealth or animalistic
yeah,
style. Yeah.
You can
exactly.
climb trees.
So that's that. The next one is one of the bigger ones. This is called Devil's Tongue. So this takes the place of your Infernal Legacy trait, and it's kind of a mirror to it, just with alternate spells. So with Devil's Tongue, you know the Vicious Mockery cantrip automatically at level one. When you reach third level, you can cast the Charm Person spell as a second level spell once with this trait. And at fifth level, you can cast Enthrall spell. You must finish a long rest to cast these spells once again. So again, this really leans into like either the psionic or the enchantment end of being like a fiend. So like maybe you are a descendant of a succubus who is capable of manipulating people, you know, on a mental scale. So you learn Vicious Mockery, Charm Person, and Enthrall.
Well, a lot of those characters down in the Nine Hells are like deal makers, right?
Exactly,
The Devil's Tongue is more like I can talk my way in and out of any situation.
Yeah, and you can flavor it like that too, exactly. But basically, this is you're less fiery and more...
emotional.
I guess emotional, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess dominating? Yeah, you're more dominating and less like fiery.
Intimidating.
Yeah, sure.
You're leaning into the charisma stuff, the force of will.
So that's a pretty cool one, although I'm always a big fan of the fire bit. The next feature is called Hellfire. So this doesn't replace the entire Infernal Legacy trait. It just swaps out what looks to be one spell.
Okay.
So once you reach third level, you can cast the Burning Hand spell once per day as a second level spell. This trait replaces the Hellish Rebuke spell of the Infernal Legacy trait.
Nice.
So it's pretty good. Honestly, I like Hellish Rebuke better than Burning Hands. Burning Hands is more flashy, but Hellish Rebuke is just real handy. That nice reactionary, oh, you hit me, here's 3d10 damage.
Exactly. You're not burning as much resource on that spell rather than like doing a Burning Hands. I mean, if you're clever with your Burning Hands, you can do a lot of damage to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
But, you know, what can you hit like 3 people max at once with the Burning Hands?
With Burning, I mean, max you could probably, I think it's a 15-foot cone. So I think
you can hit 4 people?
Like 5 or 6 technically. But they'd all have to be grouped together. How often does that really happen? Not a lot, I would say.
Well, 3 if you got like a flying V going on and they're trying to like score.
Right, if they're coming at you in formation. You're like, oh, this is perfect.
yes.
I've been waiting for this moment. I also like it. You got to remember the spell is stuck at a second level spell. You can't heighten it at any point in time. So theoretically, once you're in the higher levels, it's not going to be nearly as useful.
But the Hellish Rebuke is still a nice little.
The Hellish Rebuke is great because, again, it's just a reaction. If you get hit, it's a free D10, 3D10. Right. So it's like, to me, the fact that that doesn't scale isn't such a big deal.
Yeah.
But that's just my personal opinion. So finally in Skag, the last feature that they allow is called Winged. You have bat-like wings sprouting from your shoulder blades. You now have a flying speed of 30 feet. This trait replaces your Infernal Legacy trait.
Cool.
So instead of spells, you can fly.
I'll take
it. Which is in itself a very high-level spell.
Yes.
If you think about it that way.
And you can only do it for 10 minutes if you cast a spell.
Right.
This is just flying.
Can fly at level 1. So it's very powerful. Very much like the Aarakocra. So any questions about any of these traits or anything before we move on to all the stuff that was added in Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes?
I like all the spell flavor, but I like the option to take decks means that you don't have to like lean into magic, you know, like charisma-based magic and stuff.
Yeah, because sometimes if you want to be a tiefling, you want to be a rogue, and like you have the infernal magic, but like it's not really that useful. It's very situational.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when I build my tieflings, I like to build around the infernal stuff, like with D'Artagnan. Like I integrate it into his like dark paladinness.
Right,
but.
That's easy to do.
It's easy to do.
Yeah. You know, this gives you the option to lean away from that sort of thing and take on a more, like you're saying,
a rogue. it makes your features feel like less of a just space that's being taken up. It's like, but I could have had other things.
You get that good AC. It's never bad.
Yeah, no, Dex is hard to beat. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we move on, let's take a short rest.
Okay.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the part of the episode we're not talking about that last thing we're talking about. We're talking about the new thing. The new thing is love. It's the newest old thing we got. And I'm full of it for you.
Love is always new.
Thank you for experiencing the show and for supporting it. If you're listening, we love you.
We do.
It's really awesome. Mmm. Tasty. Did that taste good, Will? Was that good water?
It was. It was very refreshing. I'm
it
so sorry.
It sounded refreshing.
I apologize for my audio crimes.
I'm going to try to foley it with my mouth.
Okay. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
It's so uncomfortable.
Welcome to the short rest, everybody. We love you. Will, tell them you love them.
I did. I already said we love you.
Tell them again.
I love you. I love you guys. Thank, okay. Thank you guys so much for watching the show.
Thank you,
and listening.
New Patreon people. I'm going to read your names now. Zach Smith.
Thank you, Zach.
Jeremy Miller.
Thank you, Jeremy.
I might have said those two in the last time we shouted people out.
Well, then thank you again, guys.
Thanks again, though. Jacob Silence.
Thank you, Jacob.
Tegan Churchill.
Thank you, Tegan.
Brian J. Lynch.
Thank you, Brian.
What a good name, Brian. Amanda Allen.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks, guys. I hope you're enjoying your new bonus content. We're going to have some cool stuff. Got some cool stuff going on Patreon. You can send a message in. If you inbox us on Patreon at any tier level, you can do this. We'll read whatever you write in the short rest as long as it's not like super crazy. It can be super crazy, I guess. It just can't be like offensive.
Right.
Don't be offensive.
We'll be screening them.
We'll screen them. You can be offensive if you want, I guess. Thanks for supporting the show, but we're not going to read that. So
Yeah, you can do that. We're getting show notes back on for more recent episodes.
Oh, yeah. Like, we decided to go digital.
Yeah.
Like, smart people. Like, that only took 3 years.
Yeah, like, real like real people in the real modern world. Welcome to 2020, everybody. Happy New Year. We're digital now. At the $1, I think we'll just put them at the $1 level. You got to do them anyway.
Yeah, I think everyone gets those.
If you want to see the detailed notes Will takes down for each show with his own special spicy flavor on his research, you can go check it out.
Indeed.
They'll be there. They'll be like Google Doc links. I do that for I got to upload the Flashbang and the Surgeon Dungeon Master notes from season one to the people that aren't in the $5 tier.
For sure. You do all your dungeon notes via Google Docs.
I do. Okay. I split Flashbang and the Surgeon up by in three portions typically, by act one, two, and three.
Yeah.
And that's how the notes look. So
interesting.
Yeah. Any dialogue from Batman the Animated Series that I use verbatim is in there, copy pasted, and then the rest is my stuff.
Right.
I'm reskinning dragons. And making Batman villains into stat blocky forms. You can see what I did in there.
It's pretty dope. I've always done my DM notes handwritten. I just never changed. But now I'm realizing there's a whole new world of possibility.
Yeah, and you can have multiple tabs open. That's really cool. So when I DM, I'll have my screen up and I'll switch over to rules and Excel. I have an NPC tracker and stuff like that. There's lots of stuff that I could throw up there that I'm probably going to put up there. We got new FBATs. I'm going to be done with that today. So I'll do that. We do Battle Royale. If you're part of the Patreon, our wonderful mod people are running that. I have to do my character sheet. I told them I was going to do it last night, and it's today now. So I got to do it today.
Right.
But, we had special guest Jake over last night, and that's why I didn't do it, because we were talking about some hot Super Quest Saga shit.
Yeah, spoilers, though. We're not going to say anything.
We're not going to say anything, but it's wild times. If you're caught up, you already know.
You already know how wild
You don't it know is. Exactly. You do not know how wild
that's
yet.
That's true.
Actually, they don't know how wild yet, but you will in a couple days. Yeah.
I'll be honest, not even you know how wild it's about to get.
I hope not. I hope I don't. I only know some things.
Right.
Anyway, those are all the things we're doing. Come check it out. If you want to want the Grump Schmug, come get it. It's awesome.
Indeed.
I got one on the desk.
I got a few more of those to send out.
Yeah, we should be done with that. If you're waiting for a mug, we're going to get it to you in this last
round.
Yeah,
by the time you're hearing this, all mugs have been sent and should be arriving, not there, or arriving soon. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. And we still have plans for another merch tier, but it's we're really getting held up by a couple of logistical things.
Life.
We're trying to, and partly life. The holidays are over. We have no excuses. They took that Sea-Doo from my side yard.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you told me about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's so good. Anyway, we're going to get back to the show.
We're talking about CDs now. It's time. Let's go. Hey, Brian.
You smell that, Will?
I do.
It smells like we've returned.
Because we have.
It smells like it smells like podcasting.
It does.
It smells like metal and hot lights.
It does. And energy drinks.
It smells like open cans of Monster Energy.
It's so true. Okay, so now that we're back, we're going to talk about all the new Tiefling stuff that got added in Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes. And there's a lot more than was added in Skag. And it leans hard into the devilish side of things.
It's a cool book, man. You definitely pick up your Tome of Foes.
It's one of my favorites for sure. So at the DM's... option, you can create a tiefling character who has a special link to one of the lords of the nine hells.
Oh no.
This link is represented by a subrace. If your tiefling has a subrace, choose one of the following options. Whichever one corresponds to the infernal being connected to your tiefling's family. So the traits of the chosen subrace replace the tiefling's ability score increase and infernal legacy traits given in the player's handbook.
Cool.
So it starts with Asmodeus. But the Tieflings connected to Nessus and Asmodeus command the power of fire and darkness. And they are guided by a keener than normal intellect, as befits those linked to Asmodeus himself. And such Tieflings use the regular ability score and infernal legacy traits from player's handbook.
Okay.
So if you're going with Asmo, you're just a regular Tiefling.
That's
which
fine.
Which makes sense because in 4th edition, he was the one who created the Tiefling race. So. Right.
And he's the coolest one.
And he's the best one.
Yeah.
But let's move on to the lesser ones. They're also kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So next on the list is a archduke named Beelzebul. He is the archduke of Malodomini. We talked about that in the Nine Hells episode, which is a very long episode and a good one to go revisit sometimes because I just revisited it the other day. I don't remember any of this.
It's meaty in there.
It's a meaty episode. And we didn't even do the last layer. We didn't even do Nessus. We just did the first.
Because we're
eight.
Saving that for another
Well,
another
no, we saved episode? It for the Asmodeus episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did do that.
But back to Beelzebul. So the crumbling realm of Malodomini is ruled by Beelzebul. Beelzebul, who excels at corrupting those whose minor sins can be transformed into acts of damnation. Ooh. Tieflings linked to this archdevil can corrupt others both physically and psychically. So, as a Beelzebul sub-raced tiefling, they don't have like a proper name for these, and it's really annoying. So I'm gonna like say a bunch of like words in a row that don't sound like anything.
Just like smash the demon lord name and then like tack on fling to the end of it.
A Beelzeling, a Beelzefling. If you're a Beelzefling, your ability score increase is a +2 to charisma, which is normal, and a +1 to intelligence, which is also normal. Next, you also get Legacy of Mellow Domini. So this replaces your Infernal Legacy. Mm-hmm. So you know the Thaumaturgy cantrip, which is also normal. We're getting real close to not being any different at all. When you reach third level, though, you can cast the Ray of Sickness spell. So there we go. As a second level spell, once with this trait, and regain the ability to do so with a long rest. And when you reach fifth level, you can cast Crown of Madness.
That's I like that spell. Oh,
mm-hmm. And again, that's once a long rest, use charisma as your spellcasting ability for these spells. So if you go with the Beelzebul route, everything's pretty much the same. You just replace Hellish Rebuke with Ray of Sickness and you replace Darkness with Crown of Madness. So again, you are a corrupting force, if you will.
This is roleplay oriented.
Very much so. Yeah. Yes.
Make sure you are a dungeon master that is researching those particular entities.
Yeah, I would say so, because they do make a point of like, whatever Archduke you're connected to, you'll look different than like your standard tiefling, but they only gave a few pictures, like for examples, and they don't actually give you any descriptions.
Oh,
which is a little lame. I'm gonna drink some water. So the next tiefling subrace is tied to the Archduke Dispater, who is lord of, I believe, the second layer of the Abyss, or not the Abyss, second layer of Hell, Dis. The great city of Dis occupies most of the Hell's second layer. There it is. It is a place where secrets are uncovered and shared with the highest bidder, making tieflings tied to Dispater excellent spies and infiltrators. So, as a Dispatefling, I'm not liking this fusion of the words. I don't think it just rolls off the tongue very well.
You're going to get used to it.
Okay. Your ability scores increases are +2 to charisma, which is normal, and a +1 to dex, which is not normal. So okay, again, yeah, a little more roguish.
Got it.
You then get the Legacy of Dis feature. You know the Thaumaturgy cantrip, which is normal. When you reach third level, you can cast the disguise spell, self spell, once with this trait and regain the ability to do so after a long rest. And when you reach fifth level, you can cast detect thoughts.
Oh, cool.
Once with this trait per long rest, yada, yada, yada. So that's pretty cool. So that's good spy work stuff, right?
Like, yeah.
Disguise yourself and read minds. Like,
you read minds light, because
I don't know how the spell works. Do you actually know?
Detect thoughts is like you can get like surface feelings off of somebody. Like, I can tell if you're fucking actually really pissed or something.
Right. Or maybe telling the truth or any of that jazz.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's pretty solid. I like that.
There's a lot of fun role play you can do with Dis. Like, welcome to layer Dis. And you're like, wait, what's this layer? And like, do that sort of, never mind. Let's go on.
Right. The next tiefling subrace is tied to the Archduke Fierna. So a Fiernafling? Fiernaflings.
You can use the whole word for that one.
A master manipulator. Fiona grants tieflings tied to her forceful personalities. Ability and score increase is +2 to charisma, which is normal, and a +1 to wisdom.
Okay. It's just light tweaks.
They're just keeping
the meat and potatoes of the class intact, which
is
makes sense.
It's basically like we're going to tweak your ability score just a hair, and then we're going to give you different spells for your legacy.
Yeah. Do you want some flavor? Do you want us to write it down so you don't feel bad about doing
it? Right. So it feels more official. Yeah, right. Exactly. So you get the Legacy of Phlegethos feature. You know the Friends cantrip. When you reach third level, you can cast the Charm Person spell as a second level spell once with this trait. When you reach fifth level, you can cast the Suggestion spell once with this trait. Charisma is your spellcasting ability score. So again, this is very like manipulative. Like,
yeah. Friends is really hard to use. You got to basically hit like a town guard on your way out.
Right.
Like, hey, buddy, you want to open that portcullis for me? And
right.
And then he does it and then you're gone and he can't be pissed at you because you're not there. Well, he will be. He's supposed to be, but you're not around for him to inflict
exactly.
the wrath. But he will tell the other guards you're an asshole.
It's true.
They will come after you.
And if I remember from our Nine Hells episode, Fierna is a master manipulator. She's basically like a sex devil, and like she has like her palaces of pleasure and whatnot. So I guess she's all about seduction and controlling other people.
Okay.
So there
I
that is.
I kind of remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a weird one.
That was the sex one.
That was the sex one.
Okay.
Moving on. to her lover, in fact, Glazia, who is also the daughter of Asmodeus.
Okay.
So those tied to Glazia, or Glazia is Hell's criminal mastermind, and she grants her tieflings magic that is useful for committing heists.
Nice. That's fucking cool.
It is.
This is the Ocean 11 one.
Yeah, exactly. Or the Ocean's 8, really.
Oh, yeah. Ladies.
So ability score increase for Glazia's tieflings are charisma score increases by 2, dex increases by 1. And then you get the Legacy of Malbolge, which is, you know, the minor illusion cantrip. When you reach third level, you can cast the Disguise Self spell once with this trait. And when you reach fifth level, you can cast the Invisibility spell once with this trait. So, yeah, definitely leans itself to heist and crime.
It's like called Malbolge?
Malbolge, yeah. Mm. Malbolge.
Who's Bulge?
Hey, man, I'm pretty sure that's the name of the actual lair in Dante's Inferno.
Oh, yeah. You might be right.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure all of these are named after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good one if you want to go rogue. Like, you get Disguise Self and Invisibility. That's pretty dope. And Minor Illusion.
A Glaceling.
Like, you could be Arcane Trickster, Glazia Tiefling. That would be pretty solid. That would be a pretty interesting build, I think.
Glazling.
Glazifling.
Glaziafling.
Glaziafling. No, moving on. Okay. The next is Levistus. So Frozen Stygia is ruled by Levistus, an archdevil known for offering bargains to those who face an inescapable doom.
This is Cold Hell, right?
Cold Hell.
I remember this one.
One of the two Cold Hells. The first Cold Hell.
They had to fuck me up somehow.
Yeah, seriously. So the ability score increase you get if you're tied to Levistus is your charisma score increases by 2, constitution score increases by 1, and then you get the Legacy of Stygia or Stygia. I'm not sure how you actually pronounce it. But with this legacy, you know the Ray of Frost cantrip. Once you reach third level, you can cast Armor of Agathys spell as a second level spell.
I fucking love that spell.
It's a great spell. And when you reach fifth level, you can cast Darkness spell, which is what you would normally get with a normal tiefling. So cold and darkness is what I'm getting from this. And it makes sense.
Yes.
Levistus is very much tied to both those things.
And you're constituted to fight the cold and darkness.
Right, exactly. You can endure it like no other.
You can cast darkness around your enemies and then go to the backside and shoot them.
With maybe cold.
You can't see through your own darkness spell,
I don't think you can. No, I don't think that's a thing.
I don't know.
Moving on. So the next archduke that you could be tied to is Mammon. So the great miser Mammon loves coin above all else. Tieflings tied to him excel in gathering and safeguarding wealth. So ability score increase, if you're tied to Mammon, is a plus 2 to charisma and a plus 1 to intelligence, which is completely normal. That is what the standard tiefling gets. But then you get the Legacy of Mineros. So you know the Mage-Hand cantrip.
Cool.
When you reach third level, you can cast Tenzer's Floating Disc spell. I like that because you can carry loot. That's pretty cool.
Okay. So your Static Shock, you can like ride around on that.
Yeah. Okay. And when you reach fifth level, you can cast the Arcane Lock spell once with this trait. That's interesting.
What's Arcane Lock?
So I think it's just you cast basically a lock spell on something that either needs a dispel magic or the caster to undo it.
Okay. Sure.
That's my guess. I don't actually know the spell verbatim. There's too many spells, Brian. I can't know them all. And I'm always dungeon mastering, so I'm never actually playing a spellcaster.
We should change that. We should know the spells.
Okay. Should we look it up?
Yeah, let's take a break and we'll look it up. So Arcane Lock, we looked it up. It's one action to cast. You got a touch, and it's a wizard spell. Let's see. You touch a closed door, window, gate, chest, or other entryway, and it becomes locked for the duration. Which the duration is until dispelled. Nice. Okay. So you and the creatures you designate when you cast a spell can open the object normally. You can also set a password that, when spoken within 5 feet of the object, suppresses the spell for 1 minute. Otherwise, it is impassable until it is broken or the spell is dispelled or suppressed. Casting Knock on the object suppresses Arcane Lock for 10 minutes. While affected by this spell, the object is more difficult to break or force open. The DC to break or pick any locks on it increases by 10. Nice.
Oh, wow. That's really impressive.
Yeah.
So it was mostly what I said, but that was a lot more detail. I like that.
What are you normally hitting your locks at, generally speaking?
As a player, I'm always trying to unlock. I'm never trying to lock something up. So I'm not sure what you're trying to hit with that.
No, as a dungeon master, where are you setting your DCs for opening locks? Like
it depends. So like, I don't know.
Generally, at least a 10, right?
Yeah, I would say like a 12 standard for getting your sleight of hand check. Mm-hmm. So a plus 10 of that 22, yeah, you're not going to hit it.
Yeah, for sure. Unless you're a thieves tool rogue and you have expertise.
Yeah, or if you crit and you're playing with the rules where crits count on skills like we do, but that's not the official ruling. You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, I like the more like crits go a long way on skills.
Yeah,
because some stuff's impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I
agree with that 100%. All right, so moving on. The next archduke that you could be tied to is Mephistopheles. He's from the other cold hell.
Okay.
In the frozen realm of Cania, Mephistopheles offers arcane power to those who entreat with him. Tieflings linked to him master some arcane magic. So if you're tied to Mephistopheles as a tiefling, you get a +2 to charisma, a +1 intelligence, which, as I said before, is normal. Like, so many of these guys don't actually change your ability scores. But then you get Legacy of Cania. So, you know.
Do you think there should be one for, like, each? Did we hit? We didn't hit intelligence yet, did we?
What do you mean we didn't hit intelligence?
Like, one of them had a +1 wisdom, and one of them had a +1 to dex. And
one had one to constitution. No, we've already had, like, three, including this one, that were just the bog standard ability score.
So if we don't hit strength and intelligence, I'm going to be disappointed.
I'm sure we'll hit them all by the end.
Okay.
So yeah, that was the ability score increase. You get Legacy of Cania. You know the Mage Hand cantrip. When you reach third level, you can cast the Burning Hand spell as a second level spell. And when you reach fifth level, you can cast the Flame Blade spell. Ooh, that's
pretty good.
Once with this trait, regain the ability to do so after a long rest. Charisma is a spellcasting ability for these spells. So that's pretty cool. And Mephistopheles, despite being from Cold Hell 2, is very much tied to Hellfire. That's kind of his thing. He, like, spends all his time in his, like, arcane towers researching how to create, like, this magical Hellfire that no one else can make.
That's fucking cool. So, yeah. I remember that being cool in the last time,
yeah,
too.
It was pretty dope.
And so nobody just don't at me or whatever people say. Cold Hell 2.
Cold Hell 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So we're at the final of the Archdukes. Her name is Zariel. Tieflings with a blood tie to Zariel are stronger than the typical tiefling and receive magical abilities that raid them in battle.
Nice.
Aid them in battle, yes. So if you're tied to Zariel, you get a +2 to charisma and a +1 to strength.
All
there
right.
It is right there.
I feel good.
That's dope for a paladin build right here. And you also get Legacy of Avernus. You know the Thaumaturgy cantrip, which is normal. When you reach third level, you can cast the Searing Smite spell as a second level spell once with this trait, and you regain the ability to do so after long rest. And when you reach fifth level, you can cast Branding Smite as a spell once with this trait. So I just said that this is great with paladins, but also as a paladin, you get those spells anyway. So
okay.
It's a little crossover, but that +1 strength is pretty nice.
The latest like 9 health centric book has Zariel's art on the front, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's all about Avernus. And I'm pretty sure, I haven't really looked into it. My understanding is the story really does center around her.
Yeah, vacation for 2 to 8 to Avernus for free. You get to go there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. When we did the 9 Hells episode, it was before that book had come out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was under the impression that Bell was still the Archduke of Avernus.
Okay.
But they changed it in 5e. I didn't realize that because I didn't have a book on it. And now she was, we don't talk about her in the 9 Hells episode. Maybe she'll get her own episode.
We did talk about her in the 9 Hells episode because I know a lot about her randomly. She fell from heaven. That sort of thing.
I think we talked about her in the Avernus episode, but we did not talk about her in Nine Hells.
We've definitely not
Avernus,
talked about
Asmodeus.
Her. Asmo. Yeah. That actually makes sense.
But she'll probably get her own episode, or at the very least, the Archdukes will like share episodes together if I can't like dig up enough lore to like fill up a whole episode.
Totally.
But any questions about any of these subraces or variants before we get into the next topic?
We didn't hit intelligence, I don't think.
There was like 4 of them that had intelligence.
A +1?
Yeah. They just matched the player's handbook, which has charisma.
Oh, that's why. Because we waved it. Okay,
yeah,
that's
I kept saying same.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
All right. So the last thing I want to talk about that was added to tieflings in general are the racial feats out of Xanathar's Guide to Everything.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much, I think not just pretty much, but every single race now has like specific racial feats. But Xanathar's only hits, I think, all the player's handbook ones. But there was like a supplemental...
UA?
No, it wasn't a UA, but it was like a supplemental resource PDF that you could download for free. I think for free. Don't quote me on that. But it has all the other races. They all have their own racial feats.
Okay.
But tieflings get 2.
Nice.
So the first racial specific feat that you get as a tiefling is called Flames of Phlegethos. Prerequisite, tiefling. You learn to call on Hellfire to serve your commands. You gain the following benefits. Increase your intelligence or charisma score by 1 to a maximum of 20. When you roll fire damage for a spell you cast, you can re-roll any roll of one on the fire damage dice.
Oh, cool.
But you must use the new roll even if it's another one. Whenever you cast a spell that deals fire damage, you can cause flames to wreathe you until the end of your next turn. The flames don't harm you or your possessions. They shed bright light out to 30 feet and dim light for an additional 30 feet. When the flames are present, any creature within 5 feet of you that hits you with a melee attack takes 1d4 fire damage.
Nice.
And so this is great if you're playing like a pyromancer-style wizard or maybe an infernal warlock, or if you have a really reflavored paladin like a paladin that I roll sometimes.
A flaming paladin.
A flaming paladin. Because you're casting fire spells all the time. And so having that
this residual fire aura about you
is pretty dope. So that's a pretty cool feature or feat, I should say.
Yeah, because your character is walking around the battlefield slashing people and like
while
bursts
on fire.
Of fire coming out and then just like flying around you and you're glowing. And
yes.
It's like Rogue One, Darth Vader activating his lightsaber in the dark hallway.
It's super metal, absolutely.
Breathing all heavy.
So the second feat that you can take as a tiefling is called Infernal Constitution. So a prerequisite is, of course, be a tiefling. Fiendish blood runs strong in you, unlocking a resilience akin to that possessed by some fiends. I must have copy-pasted this wrong because this is possessed by some friends. I'm like, no, that's not right. Possessed by some fiends. You gain the following benefits. Increase your constitution score by 1 to a maximum of 20. You now have resistance to cold damage and poison damage, and you now have advantage on saving throws against being poisoned. This is great if you're going for like a tank build and you just want to pile on resistances and advantages and extra constitution. This
be
was
that
one,
much harder to take down.
Yeah, this was one I heavily considered taking when I was rolling D'Artagnan Bloodthane. We never got that far, but it was always under consideration.
Right.
So those are the two racial specific feats you could take as a tiefling. Any questions or any input or ideas on any of this new tiefling stuff?
I like the role play you can do. Like, you kind of get a patron in a way. Even if you're not warlocking it.
Yeah, it's true. You get at least a tie to an extra planar being, which is kind of cool.
You're getting that that outside influence. So this is, those are really crazy, strong, evil beings that they're talking about.
Like borderline gods in a lot of ways, yeah.
So you're either, what's your role play? You're fighting that off if you're a good character. Right, you're kind of like trying to put the influence behind you and ignore it.
Or are you embracing it?
Darkness. Are you going to be evil? Right. And like, what is your relationship with your party members?
True.
So that's always really important to consider.
What I like about like all this variability between all these options you can take is like you can now have a team of all tieflings that are completely different from each other and are not similar in any way, shape, or form. And I think that's pretty cool.
You can have like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but you're all tieflings.
Exactly. Teenage Mutant Ninja Tieflings.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Tieflings.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really great one-shot.
That sounds like a one-shot we should do for our patrons.
That sounds like a Patreon one-shot for sure.
Speaking of our Patreon, I think we can get ready for a long rest.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Where we talk about Patreon sometimes.
Where we do talk about Patreon sometimes.
Let's talk about the merch.
Yeah, let's talk about our merch store. So if you like this show and want to help support us, you can buy a t-shirt or mug off of our Teespring account, which is the link's in the description, but also I think the store.
Teespring.com/dungeoncast.
Yeah, and the store is right below this YouTube video if you're watching us on YouTube.
Yeah, you'll see little shirts down there for Super Quest Saga, and like if you scroll around, you'll see the TDC stuff.
Yeah, so if you're a fan of this show or that show, there's merch for you. Check it out.
Yeah, let's see. We do have a message we want to read on Patreon.
Oh,
so
we do.
Do you want to talk about Super Quest Saga while I pull that
up? Yeah, sure. So, we have a live play D&D game here on YouTube, and also it's its own podcast called Super Quest Saga, where we hear the Dungeon Guests sit around the table and play some Dungeons & Dragons in space. It's a sci-fi game, and it's really cool. We're getting a lot of positive feedback, and it's been really overwhelming. So thank you to everyone who's been watching the show and enjoying it.
I can see the show picking up a lot of steam. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it's more popular than the Dungeon Cast.
Yeah,
at
I
some
could
point.
Actually see Super Quest Saga being more popular than the Dungeon Cast a year from now easily.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I think it's absolutely worthy of that. Will's doing a great job DMing, and everybody is killing it in the role play.
I agree.
We're moving into making it into, it's already a high production thing that we're putting on. We're doing music, we're doing sound effects, we're doing like voice alterations and stuff like that. Because there's a lot of cool opportunities to do that when you have like airlocks going off all the time and people talking through comms, and like, how could I not do that?
Right.
So we're really excited. We're gonna ramp that up. We're taking off towards the second half of the show. Mm-hmm. We're about at the halfway marker.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna step up the game there. So definitely check it out. I that's not to knock the old stuff at all. It's a wonderful show. I love listening back to it. I think we should move on to the segment of the show where we read messages from our patrons.
Let's do it.
If you are a member of our Patreon, if you support the show in that way at any level, feel free to inbox us on Patreon at any time. Let us know that you want your message read on the show, or I'll ask you, I guess. And then we're going to read it.
Let's do it. That's it. All right.
You can give us like a dollar, guys. If everybody out there gives us a dollar, that would be fucking sick as hell.
That'd be a lot of dollars.
Yeah, dude, we totally appreciate it. We're going to make it worth your while. We're going to put the show notes from like these later episodes on. They're just going to be in there. And we'll read your messages and you get to get your name shouted on the show and support the Dungeon Cast. You get a lot of stuff at $5 and a lot more stuff at $10 and merch at $20. You get in there. Here's some messages, or a message. From Erica Mariana. Erica Mariani.
Thank you, Erica.
Thank you, Erica. Erica says, hi, I just wanted to thank you guys for making this awesome podcast. I've been very interested in D&D, but I haven't gotten to play because of my would-be party and I have just been too busy to get together.
Been there.
It's a painful thing. So it's great to have this dose of D&D to listen to, be it regular episodes of your awesome live plays. I especially love Super Quest Saga and get super excited every time a new episode comes out. Thank you guys again and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Erica. That means the world to us.
I hope you get, I messaged you back already, but I hope you get to play some D&D real soon.
Yeah, I hope so. Definitely.
When I get the itch, when we took like a 2 or 3 month break.
We did.
I didn't play any Dungeons and Dragons because the holidays are wild.
That's true.
For everybody. And I got real itchy in my D&D places. And, but it's okay. We scratched
that
itch.
Me
and my friends helped me scratch it all.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right. I think we can call it a game.
Need some ointment for my itchy places.
We'll talk to you guys later.
That ointment is D&D. Bye.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.